I have one desire this morning for you. One desire, and it's a desire that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, where he wrote, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, the Bible says that now we see through a dark glass dimly. And men down through the ages have tried to describe the love of God. And if I went to you as an individual Christian and asked you the question, do you understand the love of God? Most of you would say, yes, I do. And I would ask you to describe it, and you would do your best to describe it. But I would tell you that as you describe it, you'd just be scraping the top of the iceberg, so to speak. You'd just be dipping your finger in the ocean and getting your fingertip wet, picking up one grain of sand from the beach. That's how our descriptions of the love of God compare to what it really is. One of these days, we're going to come face to face with Him. And that dark glass is going to be removed, and our eyesight is going to be made perfect, and we will really know the love of God. Until then, we preach about it and teach about it and talk about it and try to understand all we can, but my estimation is that we won't really understand like this verse talks about the height and the depth and the width of it until we see Him face to face. But doesn't stop us as preachers from preaching about it. And that's what I want to do this morning as I preach on the subject. Does anybody love me? Does anybody love me? Read a story not too long ago, and I'd heard it before, and I preached about it before, about a pastor that was talking to a missionary that was a missionary to Romania, country of Romania, right when communism was falling. And this missionary was telling the pastor the story of how when the communists were leaving that he began to go to different parts of the country telling people about Jesus. And he went into one small village that had an orphanage that drew children from the surrounding area. And he said in this orphanage there were hundreds and hundreds of children. And he went into this one large room where there were scores of babies, infants. And as he looked at them, two things struck him as he went into that room. One was how quiet it was. He said not one of the babies were making a sound. Not one cry, not one scream, not one noise from any of the babies. And he says the second thing that struck him was when he looked into their faces, how empty in their faces looked, how hollow their eyes looked. And he goes on to tell the story that he called the director of the orphanage over, and the missionary asked the question. He says, what's the matter with these children? They're not making any noise, and their faces look empty. And the director of the orphanage says, well, they're all dying. And the missionary was taken aback. He said, what do you mean they're all dying? What are they dying from? What, do they have a disease? Do they have a sickness? What do you mean they're all dying? And the director of the orphanage said, no, they're dying because of neglect. They're dying because of the lack of love. You see, with all the children we've had, we haven't had enough staff, and nobody's been able to pick them up. Nobody's been able to hold them. Nobody's ever been able to coo at them. Nobody's been able to tell them, I love you. And they're dying. They're all dying because nobody loves them, has loved them. If they could ask the question, those children that were in that orphanage, they would ask the question, does anybody love me? Does anybody love me? Sad story, true story, sad story. But an even sadder story is there are people today, people that we know, some people probably even here this morning that are asking the same question. Does anybody love me? Does anybody love me? You see, everybody has two basic needs in their life. that I want to talk about this morning. There's probably more than this, but two I want to talk about this morning. The first one is to know that somebody loves them. Every single person has that need in their life, to want to know that somebody loves them, that cares about them, that thinks about them, that thinks they're special. Every husband wants to know that his wife loves him. Every wife wants to know that her husband loves her. In this busy world that we live in, sometimes husband and wives get so involved in the day-to-day activities of living that they forget to tell one another that they love each other. And so they sometimes wonder, does anybody love me? Children sometimes want to ask this question as mom and dad get so involved in things that the world demands that we do. And we make choices that are not good. And sometimes children ask the question, does anybody love me? The widow or the widower whose spouse has been gone and they're by themselves much of the time. Oh, the kids try to come over as much as they can, but much of the time they're by themselves. And sometimes they ask the question, does anybody love me? The teenager who has messed up their life, who has disappointed mom and dad, who's brought dishonor to the family name, sometimes wonders, does anybody love me? And then the dad, mom, and the grandparent, who are up in years, who children and grandchildren don't come by as much as they used to, don't call as much as they used to, sometimes ask the same question, does anybody love me? And you see, it's really a three-part question. And I want to ask that three-part question this morning, and I want to tell you, there is somebody that loves you. There is somebody that will answer every one of these questions I'm about to ask with a resounding yes, I do love you. The first part of the question is, does anybody love me just the way I am? Does anybody love me just the way that I am? Not for what I once was or not for what I could be, but for what I am right now. With all my faults, with all my frailties, with all my quirks. And there are some people in this room that have some quirks, I want to tell you. That's not part of my message, so I'm not going to get into that. Does anybody love me just for who I am? I got good news for you this morning. God loves you just the way you are. Not to say he doesn't want you to get better. Not to say he doesn't want you to improve. I mean, yes, God wants that for every single person. But I want to remind you this morning that God loves you just the way you are. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a story, a true story, about a leper that comes to Jesus. One who has that dreaded disease where sores cover his body. I mean, open sores that run with pus. Maybe missing a finger, maybe missing a toe. An outcast of society. Because of this disease, he can't live with his family. He can't live in the city. All those that were once dear to him, he can't be around them anymore because of this disease of leprosy. And he comes to Jesus. He comes to Christ, and he makes the statement, he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He said, Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean. And really what he was asking Jesus was, Jesus, I know I have this dreaded disease. I know I have this thing called leprosy, and it separates me from everybody that I love. It separates me from society. But I have a question for you. Do you love me just the way I am? Do you love me in spite of this disease? Do you love me when nobody else can be around me? Do you still love me just the way I am? And Jesus does a strange thing, strange for that day. The Bible says he reached out and touched him. You couldn't touch a leper. It was against the law. Not only against the law, but I mean, that's how you caught it. I mean, you came in contact with it. And Jesus reached out and did something that nobody had done to this man for a long, long time, ever since he had this disease. He reached out and touched him, and he says, yes, I love you just the way you are, and I will make you clean. and Jesus touched him and he was healed from that leprosy. He said the same thing to the woman at Sychar's well. You remember they're interchanged. He was talking about living water and talking about the well that was there. And he said, hey, if you drink from this well, you'll thirst again. But if you'll drink of the water I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. And that woman who was there said, well, give me that water. I want that water that you're talking about. And Jesus said, well, go call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you're right. You've been married 5 times and one you're living with now is not your husband. And he dealt with her sin and what he was telling her. I want you to get better. I want you to live right, but I want you to know something. I love you just the way you are. Just the way you are. He said the same thing to the woman that the Pharisees brought to him one day and said, Master, we've caught this woman in adultery, in the very act of adultery, and the law says that she should be stoned. What do you say? Jesus didn't answer. Bible says he began to write in the sand. The men just stood there waiting for an answer, and he looked up and he says, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. You that don't have any sin in your life, you go ahead, throw the first stone. And he went back to writing in the sand. And the Bible says, beginning with the eldest, they just left. Till finally it was just Jesus and the woman. And he looked up and he says, where's your accusers? She says, there is none. He says, well, then I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. And what he was telling that woman, like he told the leper, like he told the woman at the well, I want you to get better. I want you to live right. But I want you to know I love you just the way you are. Just the way you are. I want to tell you something. Jesus says the same thing to us today. He says the same thing to every single person in this room today. I love you just the way you are. I want you to grow. I want you to be better. But it doesn't affect my love. I want you to grow in grace. I want you to be a stronger Christian. I want you to have more faith. But I want you to know something. It won't determine how much I love you. I love you right now just the way you are. We sing that little song with the kids. Sometimes I think we ought to sing it as adults because we forget the truth of it. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He loves you just the way you are. Second part of that question is this. Does anybody love me for what I have to offer? I don't have a lot compared to others. I'm not as smart. I'm not as talented. I don't have as much money or education. I can't sing or play an instrument. I can't offer much. But does anybody love me for what I have to offer? I got good news for you. God does. God does. The greatest compliment that he gave in the Bible was to a poor widow. He was sitting there near the treasury of the temple, and all these people were coming by, and they were dumping in their offering. And they were Pharisees. They wanted people to notice, so they didn't put dollar bills in. They brought all their offering in change. So that when they poured it in that container, it would make a lot of noise. So everybody would say, boy, that person's given a lot. Look at all that person's given. They wanted to be noticed. But then came this little widow. She didn't want to be noticed. She sort of snuck up to the collection plate there, and she just quietly slipped in two little mites, hoping nobody would notice how little she had to give. But Jesus noticed. He called his disciples. He said, hey, you see that little lady that's leaving? She's given more than anybody else has today. because everybody else has given from their abundance. She's given all that she had. And Jesus loved her. Loved her. I think about that story in John chapter 6 where Jesus was teaching and preaching on a hillside. And there were, the Bible says there were 5,000 men plus the women and the children that were there. And I sort of think there were probably 15,000 people there. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know, these people have been with us for a while. We need to get them something to eat." And the disciples looked at him and said, "Master, you must be crazy. How could we feed all these people here in the wilderness? I mean, it would take a ton of food to feed all these people. Not only do we not have the food, we don't have the money. If there was a place to buy it, we don't have the money that we could buy food to feed all these people." And I can just picture it in my mind. I've told you, I like to use my imagination as to what's happened in these stories. I can just see this little boy, 8 or 9 years old, 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and he hears this exchange between Jesus and his disciples, and he goes over to Andrew, one of his Jesus' disciples, and sort of pulls at his cloak like that. Say, Mister, I have a little lunch. I'll give it to Jesus. He can use that to feed the crowd. And Andrew looked down at that little boy and said, "Well, what do you got for lunch?" He said, "Well, I got 2 little pieces of fish and 5 biscuits. Jesus could use that to feed the crowd." And Andrew said, "Son, I appreciate your offer, but that's not even barely enough for you. That's not going to be enough." And the little boy said, "Oh, no, Jesus can do it. Just take me to Jesus." And the story goes that Andrew takes the little boy to Jesus and he says, "Master, there's a lad here. He's got a little lunch, 2 pieces of fish and 5 biscuits. But what is that among so many?" You see, what that little boy was saying to Jesus was, "Master, I don't have much to offer. But what I got, I'll give you. Will you love me for this little bit that I have to offer?" And Jesus told his disciples, "Make them all sit down. Make all the people sit down. Divide them up into groups of 50s and 100s. He said, "That little boy, give me your lunch. Give me your lunch." And the Bible said he took that bread and those fish and he began to break it after he blessed it and began to break it and pass it out to his disciples and said, go feed people. Go feed people. And you know the story. Everybody had all they wanted to eat and they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. And what he was telling that little boy is the same thing he told that widow that put in the 2 mites. "Yes, I love you. You may not have much to offer, but I love you. Not only just the way you are, but I love you for what you have to offer." And by the way, what we have to offer may be little compared to others, but when we give it to Jesus, he will multiply it and use that little bit that we have that we're willing to give him to feed men and women, not with fish and bread, but with the gospel. The saving power of what he did on Calvary. Does anybody love me the way I am? Does anybody love me for what I have to offer? And the third part of that question is, does anybody love me even though I don't deserve it? Even though I don't deserve it, I've messed up. I've done things I want nobody to know about. Does anybody love me even though I don't deserve it? I got good news for you. God does. God does. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God came walking one day, and he was crying out for those that he came to visit. "Adam! Adam! Where are you?" This was different than every other day, because every other day when he came into the garden, they were there to meet him. If he had to call them, they quickly ran to his side because they loved to fellowship with God. "Adam! Adam! Where are you?" And a voice comes from a bush. "We're hiding." "Why are you hiding? Did you eat the fruit? I told you not to." And I don't have time to tell you the whole story. You know the story. But I can imagine the thoughts that went through Adam's head. "And I've messed up. God only gave me one rule. Just one rule. And I broke it. I did the thing that he told me not to do. I'm sure the question went through Adam's mind. God, do you still love me? Do you want to turn me back to dust? Are you done with me? Or do you still love me even though I don't deserve it? And God says, come here. Come here. There's a price to pay for your sin. We're going to have to kill an animal and we're going to have to cover you. But I want you to know, I love you even though you don't deserve it. I want to tell you something this morning. That's the same message that goes out. The Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross that Kelly sang about a moment ago that Jesus hung on, he hung there not because of his sin, but because of our sin. He did not go there because we deserved it. He did not go there because we were so good that he was dying for good people. He was dying for sinners. He was paying the price of our sin. Now, if you ever get to the point where you think you were good enough for Jesus Christ to go to the cross for you, you need to come to this altar and realize that you are a sinner in God's sight, a wicked sinner. All our righteousnesses, the Bible says, as filthy rags. But in spite of that, Jesus went to the cross. God laid him upon him all of our sin. And as he died on that cross, he was paying for my sin and he was paying for your sin, not when we deserved it, but when we didn't deserve it. If you're here this morning and you've never taken Jesus to be your Savior, oh, I've recognized the love that he poured out for you on Calvary's cross. He loved you. Loved me just the way I was when I didn't have much to offer, when I didn't deserve it. He went to Calvary's cross and he said, I love you. Listen, I love you. You may wonder if there's anybody else in the world that loves you, but you hear God this morning. He says, I love you. I love you. I love you just the way you are, for just what you have to offer, even though you don't deserve it. I love you. And he does. He does. Now the second thing, I got to hurry, but the second thing that every person needs, not only that somebody knows that they know that somebody loves them, but the second thing that every person needs is to love somebody. Is to love somebody. Not the kind of love we see on TV, not the kind of shallow love that the world talks about, but the God kind of love. The love that flowed from Calvary. The love that says to other people, I love you just the way you are. I love you even though you might not have much to offer. I love you even though you don't deserve it. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. By this shall men, all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. You see, sometimes we say, well, I'll love you if you come up to my standard. Or I'll love you if you turn over a new leaf and straighten out your life. Or I'll love you if you get out of that sin and start living right, then I'll love you. That's not the kind of love that Jesus had toward us. And that's not the kind of love that he wants us to have toward others. He wants us to love other people. And by this shall all men know that we're his disciples if we love other people the same way that he loves us. So put aside the standards. Put aside the requirement that they have to come up to those standards. Put aside the requirement that they have to do everything right or that they have to live according, you know, to this moral code that you have set up. Put all that aside. Say, preacher, I'm thinking about somebody right now. I cannot love them. You do not know what they've done. You're right, I don't. But I know what this book says. God knew what I did. And God knew what you did, and he loved us in spite of that. And this book says, if I'm going to be his disciple, if I'm going to be like Christ, I need to love that same way. Aren't you glad that God doesn't forgive us like we forgive other people? Aren't you glad that God doesn't love us sometimes like we love other people? We put conditions on our love. We say, if you do this and do this and do this, then I'll love you. I'm glad God loved us with an unconditional love. There were no conditions. God didn't say, hey, you know, quit that, and quit that, and I'll love you. Or fix that, and fix that, and I'll love you. He said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He kindly rebuked the woman at the well. Yeah, that man you're living with is not your husband. But those things did not affect his love. And again, I'm not saying that we, you know, our desire as Christians is ought to be to help people grow, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Ought to help them get closer to the Lord. Ought to help them live their life in a way that would be more pleasing to God. That's our responsibility to each other. Is to do that. But our love should not depend on that. Our love should be unconditional. Just like God's love for us was unconditional. Does anybody love me? There's a whole heap of people that we come in contact with every day. A whole heap of people that are dying for somebody to answer that question and say, I do. I do because my God does. And show them that love. Show them that love. Listen, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, He loved you. That's what took Him to the cross. He paid for your sin. The Bible says if you come and ask Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. If you're a Christian here today, again, I've just scraped the top of the iceberg. Just scraped the top of the iceberg. I love that old song that says, If we with ink the ocean filled, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We've just scraped the surface this morning. But I want you to walk out of this place knowing that there is a God that loves you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that love. Thank you that it's an unconditional love, a love that loves in spite of who we are, what we have to offer, what we've done. And so I pray this morning, Father, that every single person here could feel that love, could know that love, could experience that love. I pray for those that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray this morning they'd see their sin. They'd see the one who died in their place, and this morning they would come and ask Jesus to save them. And then for the many, many Christians that are here, we've heard about it one more time. Father, help us to understand it a little bit better so we can know the height and the depth and the breadth of the love that you have for us, and help us to love other people that same way. Bless this time of invitation. Father, again, if there's somebody here that needs to ask Jesus to be their Savior, help them to come. If there's somebody here that needs to get baptized, help them to come. If there's somebody here that needs to join the church, help them to come. If there's somebody that just needs to come and spend some time at this altar and get some things right and straight between you and them, I pray you'd help them to come as well. Use it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.